watching all the anime. Redcaster, Joe Raven.
Equipment Wielder, Bluecaster, Ishida Zazeel.
Respecting the source material, Greencaster, Zenshi.
Actually White, Blackcaster, Ransack.
Loyal and Loud, Pinkcaster, Lightred.
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet.
Radio Sentai!
Cast Ranger! On air!
Welcome, everyone, to episode 25 of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
We're already on episode 25.
Are you going to say that every time?
No.
Every time we hit a milestone, every episode.
Every episode. Are we doing this that long? Is it that long? Are we still doing this?
Yes, we're still doing this. Our podcast history hasn't been that good.
Well, hey, once we had Brennelfloss on Area of Effect, there was really nowhere further up to go.
True.
And the
Lightyear Minute was a piece of shit.
Also, back then, it was a way complicated process.
Yeah.
Because Mike made it so.
Yeah. That's what happens when you live with Mike.
Yep.
Anyways, enough of the in references. It's time for the show. So today we're talking about Kamen Rider Gaim episode 45 and Tokuger episode 28. So we are just going to jump right in.
Kamen Rider Gaim!
Okay, so 45. We are very close to the end. Things are getting serious.
Two episodes close.
Yes.
Raven and I called it.
Yeah.
High five, Raven.
Yeah.
Which like not only did you call it, but you got double combo score.
Yep.
Possibly.
What's this?
About Malika.
He was saying that Malika and
yeah,
Mappa
were
gonna die.
We were all going, no, she's probably gonna die because all the other energy writers are gonna die. And people started coming up with theories like she's, and I was sitting over here like, she's probably just gonna take a fatal blow for Kaito.
And fuck did she.
And off a building.
Very explosive blow.
My thing watching that is I love how apparently Oren had materials for a bomb sitting around.
Yeah. He made a makeshift bomb.
Really does Green Beret fuck?
Yeah, he's but
just,
he made
do
that
this.
Shit out of silly putty and batteries. Like
sure,
like
they might as well have hooked up a fucking Jidenchi to it. Breathe in, click.
What does the very very attractive elderly lady from the James Bond movies have to do anything with this?
Damn it. I almost spoke up in protest, then I realized what you were doing.
See, what bothers me with this is like...
Welcome to Chanty Dench's Fish and Chips!
As soon as, like, Zach was like, oh, I'm gonna take down Kaido. Ha ha, good fucking luck! You have one of the weakest fucking Loxies.
The best part of this
false
whole
information. That's just due to his ineptitude as a writer.
No, this is proven because his Kurumi Sparking was no shit against fucking Banana Scotch, his weakest T-Sots. Proving that the Kurumi Lock Seed is a piece of shit, in fact.
No, I still think that's Kaido being Kaido. If Koda can still get away with using Orange, that's just Kaido being powerful as all fuck. And
okay.
If Kaido had Kurumi long enough, it would be just as good.
Sure.
Yeah.
Honestly, because of how Kaido has evolved so much in the series, Kaido / Kamen Rider Baron is my favorite everything in Gaim now. I still love Takatora and Koda to death too, but Kaido's at my number one. Like, good job, Kaido. You didn't go the way I was worried you were going to. You still continue to be a dick, and thank you, sir.
For being a dick.
You're one of the... I know you're not the final villain of the show, but you're one of the final villains of the show.
Yeah.
So, fucking... Yes. Cheers to you, sir.
Is he not the final villain?
No. We're
Jam's the final
Jam
villain.
Jam is supposed to be.
Is he?
Yep.
They said he's in the final episode.
I didn't think that awesome.
Then again, we don't...
Villain.
Or, in that case, once again, Urobuchi isn't writing the last episode.
Yeah, we don't know if maybe the last episode is some side canon story like Wizards was.
Whatever, I want my Dark Lock, Apple Lock.
Then again, it's also
bitch.
Possible that the final villain is actually Sagara, because Koda is not going
to
take his
shit. Sagara is kind of
It wouldn't surprise me if Sagara like pulled Jam out of an alternate universe, because he'll be Koda from some other world.
Yes.
What he did in that Sagara episode where he's like, you want to fight Koda the strongest? Here you go.
Exactly.
Yeah,
You've beaten Kaido. Now you have to face the worst opponent, yourself.
Shadow Link. Here was my... And again, I hate picking a nit on this show because of the nature of... It's a goddamn children's show, which is the delicate balance that you play with this show.
You're talking to me, the person who whines about belt mechanics regularly.
This is way past that. This is why I hate debating semantics of this show, because you're like, it's the best written show I've ever seen for 10-year-olds. You know what I mean? Anyway, my point being, I don't like how very... plot-heavy Yoko's death was, in that just anyone else that died the way they did was a very, yeah, that person's dead.
Yeah.
Yoko fell off a fucking building.
After getting exploded.
Yeah, after, like, off a full fucking building. Kaido goes to her side. She is...
And we don't even know how long that takes for her to get down there.
And she's... relatively alright.
In one piece, no blood, though the belt is gone, maybe it broke her fall.
But that's what I mean. It's just, I was just kind of like, okay, you didn't die from the explosion. I'll buy that. But
she was still suited up when she fell.
There's no way she didn't go... There's no way!
My vote goes to... We saw her fall, still suited. My vote is, she fell stomach first, shattered the belt... and was in one piece, though still on her way out because of the falling trauma.
Or the suit
saved her ass, then dissolved.
Yeah. But that's just it. Or the peach, like, folded back onto her head and she landed on her head.
Landed head first.
Into the ground, and just, it broke her fall and her neck.
You could say she planted herself.
But that's just it. I was just kind of like...
literal face plant.
Yeah. There's a million and one ways you could have said, no, here's how she survived. But not when you compare it to how everyone else went about dying.
Yeah.
I don't know. I still think she should have gone...
I just like that we actually bothered to give time to Pekko at the start of the episode being all emo. And I'm just thinking... this is the little shithead at the start of the show who was slingshotting lock seeds out of people's hands. Why do we care about him?
Because Kuro Pekko.
Because he's had character development.
In the movie, sure. Not much else.
Ain't I a stinker?
Well, he almost got killed by an overlord because Michi was that like, give me my or I'll kill him.
Yeah, that was his character development. Getting his ass whooped and almost dying from Shin Megurin.
And becoming a rider.
I still love that shot of just him struggling to get the fucking walkie-talkie.
Because.
Good enough for me.
As far as Zacko, yeah, we have a pretty decent fight with Zack. Because, like I said, I love Kevin's thing where he's just like, Kaido knows what belt power to use depending on the situation. So, he knew, it's Zack. He's not going to be a threat to me. Just banana arms.
That's all Kaido has at the moment.
No, he's got Mango.
Oh, yeah, that's not what I mean. I mean, like, he doesn't have the driver anymore.
And that's just what I was thinking.
Even if he did, he wouldn't have used it.
I don't know about what they're doing and why they're doing it, but I feel like while that logic remains sound to the situation, I feel like Kaido has stopped giving a crap about the power that the belt bestows him. Because we know that Kamen Rider belts naturally give you an enhanced physical strength. He's so beyond that.
Yeah.
That I feel like he can just look at it and go, this is my base form, therefore that is what I'll use. Like, he and Kota started their fight. They're both at that point of just, I'm strong as fuck, it doesn't matter what I use.
Yeah.
So they start in orange and banana to kind of place emphasis on the, not going back to where they started, but just kind of, I guess... charging at their purest or the basest forms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's just more imagery than anything else.
And I really like that whole exchange where they were trading upgrade.
Guy fighting one another.
But that's just it. Which then evolved into... Didn't he switch to energy or no?
No.
He was Jimba Lemon for a
minute. What did he do when Kota went Kiwami?
He didn't go Kiwami.
Kachidoki
is his first.
Kachidoki, right.
Yeah, it went Kota, orange and banana.
They started orange and banana, then one of those giant fucking invests popped up.
What I call drag browner, yeah. Shot fire at him, and he became Jimbo Lemon.
And he went Jimbo Lemon just to shoot that thing out of the air.
Baron responds with Mango, and then the boar jumps at him, and he responds with Kachidoki and does the awesome fallback.
Which he responds fucking with stomach. Overlord.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really interesting. We were talking about this earlier, how Kaido transforms into Lord Baron over top of Mango Arms. And we're just wondering if that's some kind of power stack.
I doubt it.
Yeah, I don't. I don't know. I don't think so.
Probably not.
I feel that was more just a lazy. Instead of having him go back to normal and then go to fucking Lord Baron, it was just like, no, I'm just gonna do that, and my rider power's gonna vanish.
Knowing the way this show works, when he transforms out of his monster form, he'll be in human form again.
But that's what I mean. It was just like I said, imagery to just kind of watch them. Power stack over the course of a fight.
Yeah. It's also the fact that when Kaito becomes Lord Baron, I think we're forgetting the fact that that form is his skin now.
Yeah.
It's not an armor.
That's what made the whole over top of Mango Arms thing really confusing.
Yeah, because that's his skin. It's not going on top of armor.
No,
it's,
but you know what I mean when you say so.
It's just dissolving as he transforms.
So right now, everyone thought Zack is dead, but apparently, like, official sources say Zack isn't dead.
Because they didn't do the whole slow fade when his head fell, like Yoko's did.
Yeah.
I didn't think Zack was dead.
So, yeah, he just didn't have any inkling that he was dead.
It didn't feel like he died from that.
Yeah,
more
he's just
Kaido
like,
knocked him out.
Yeah, he's just like, oh, I guess I didn't have what it takes to
Kaido's not the person to hold that against him. This is the kind of world Kaido's after.
He was surprised, though. He was like, Zack, what the fuck?
He actually patted him on the shoulder
and
said, you've gotten strong.
I am fucking proud of you. You've been with me, like, this entire time. I'm fucking proud of you.
And now I'm going to...
I still had to kick your ass.
And now I'm going to humiliate you with my weakest T-size.
And now I'm going to destroy the world. Later.
And see, I was talking to Ichi about this, like, earlier this week, but he was talking about, he's like... Why the fuck does, like, Kaido all of a sudden, like, he wants Mai, but then he also had a thing for Yoko? I'm like, yes, like, he developed a sort of kind of thing for Yoko, and that's why you saw him carrying her fucking corpse down the fucking road with a bunch of Invis behind him. And then he probably properly buried her somewhere.
But,
probably under the Yggdrasil building, who fucking knows?
I don't know. If it's not important to show, if it's not important enough to care about...
That Invis fight!
Yeah.
Just, like, I loved the fight between Baron and Kaido in this episode, because just...
But all the CG Invis?
Oh, yeah, all the Invis fucking fighting each other, too, and just, like, all the plastic furniture getting fucking destroyed. Like,
yeah.
It was...
As
it
is
was,
tradition.
It was great.
Yeah, but back to Zack for a second. One thing to note of was the Lockseed was visibly destroyed, but it doesn't look like his actual belt took damage, so... That
well, it was fucked over, so...
That might still be a thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I doubt it with these last two episodes, but...
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Like
they
I said,
they did not confirm the belt was
now,
broken.
No, I know, but it's honestly now down to Kaido.
I think it's very much like Oren and Jonouchi. It was basically just a very ceremonial knocking them out of the race.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is with them, they
no,
visibly
I know
the belt
belts
destroyed.
Were. You know what? If they did, I wouldn't be surprised. But I'm also just
at this point we have more
just
we have other
race,
things
not
to focus
just out
on.
Of the
not
race.
Important.
Not yeah. just out of the race, out of the city.
Yeah,
the frigging army finally showed up.
By the way, the guy who plays
the
army guy that they're speaking to is also the actor who played the Leo Zodiarts.
Yes.
Omnum face.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Interesting bit of trivia.
And he's a suit actor.
Oh, yeah?
For a lot.
I didn't see that far.
Yeah.
What if he was the suit actor for Leo?
That would have been cool.
No.
Oh. That's sad.
Ironically, no.
Yeah, but...
And now Kaito and Kota are together in an empty city and are free to reenact the end of the Matrix Revolution.
Mostly empty.
Oh, God.
Mostly empty,
no, I'm going to say, I'm going this, there's a couple of people...
Zack's still around.
Well, there's a couple of people we didn't see getting loaded onto that helicopter.
Also Michi.
Well, duh. Michi is... Yeah. But...
Still, though. Ending of Matrix Revolutions.
My point I wanted to make on that, there's, like, Zack's probably out cold somewhere, so he didn't get picked up more than likely. But the one person who notably wasn't present when they were loading that helicopter, Oren.
Yeah, the Green Beret is still around.
He wasn't?
Jonouchi was getting, like, shoved towards the helicopter. Oren wasn't there.
Oh.
I did not notice that.
Me neither.
So the thing is, chances are, Oren's still running around the city doing his Green Beret thing, and he might jump in at some point.
Doing
here.
His Green Beret
Do you know what
thing?
He might be doing?
That's a little more helpful than you might think in some cases.
Yeah, exactly. You know what else he could be doing? Trying to find Takatora.
Oh.
That's a thing.
Maybe he has a feeling that freaking... Oh, my sweet, precious melon might be lost.
My melon senses are tingling.
Oh, Kevin's just like...
Or maybe someone in the show will do the fucking smart thing and go find more belts in the Yggdrasil Tower. Probably not.
Yeah, probably not.
Not at this point.
That would just be intelligent.
Unless, of course, you know, they just do that and just find new belts and a pile of fucking watermelon.
Yes. Fucking Bear Bravo Suica arms, please.
Just pile of Suica arms and just show up for the final battle. Just
take care, everybody.
Just welcome.
Check out your chairs. You all get Suica Luxes.
I actually would love to see that in the, like, next episode. Just Kaido and Coda just both go Suica arms and just just fucking battle a giant fucking watermelon.
Jinto versus the Lance.
No, unfortunately, probably not, because Coda's already gone Kachidoki.
Yeah.
And he's already flat out shown Kachidoki Trump Suica.
Although, you know what I would like to see Kiwami do, because we know it's a thing thanks to the toy? Kiwami wielding the Suica weapon.
Damn straight.
Oh, he's probably gonna do that.
Can he please?
It's probably gonna be like a little soup mini version or something. But.
Giant double sword.
Big. It's the same size.
Yeah.
That'd be weird, but okay. Oh yeah, one thing that I was kind of disappointed with. So they first fight on like Baron on the Rose Attacker, Gaim on the Sucker Hurricane, and then they
pulled dandelions under their asses.
Well, no, they had them. I remember them having them.
Okay.
They escaped on them.
But
at one
no.
Point.
I'm sad that, like, Baron used the Dandeliner, and then I'm sad Gaim didn't respond with the Tulipopper. I was kind of hoping he would use the Tulipopper.
Because
Tulipopper's fucking stupid.
It's so amazing!
Yeah. Because Coda sat there and went, fuck that shit, Tulipopper's dumb, I'm not using this.
Also, Dandeliner wouldn't have been in this situation anyway.
No, I know it is, but I would have liked Gaim to use the Tulipopper. It's fucking awesome.
That is your opinion.
Rider kicks.
You just want your own little mini AT-ST that's green.
I have it. It's in my room. I have it. It's awesome.
Anyways, I like how Coda suddenly decided, yeah, I can summon Invest. No big deal.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
they went through that whole little thing there where he kind of sat down and went, yeah, no, I'm not human anymore.
Yeah, I like that I like that he talked to his sister about it, too. And like,
then
he
ate the fruit.
Yeah, he finally got to, he's like, you know what? Since I'm a monster, I can finally do the one thing I've been wanting to do since episode fucking one. Oh, no, no. Wow, it's fucking delicious.
And it hasn't done anything to me, which just goes to show you how far along I am at this point.
Yep, Kaito thinks that he's so special because he's developed a general, like, you know, resistance to Helheim Venom. Look at that. He's basically got... He's got blood in his Helheim Venom stream.
There was a moment of, oh, hi there. This did absolutely nothing to me. I'm already that far along on this.
And he's that powerful now.
Yeah.
And I was saying that at first I was hoping that at some point we'd get like an Overlord Coda form, but then I was thinking, no, this is perfectly analogous to the whole Overlord thing. Coda using the Kiwami Legacy to achieve the Overlord form versus Lord Baron achieving it through natural means. Perfectly analogous to the same way that... Dimushu and Redoue were analogous to Kaito and Michi.
Oh yeah, because like Kaito is seen as inherently inherently as a villain because he accepted it into his body and he allowed himself to change because of the thing that is an antagonist to what Coda stands for.
Yep.
Coda wears it like an armor.
Yep.
He wears it
on top, whereas Kaito wears it within.
Yeah, he basically just uses it as a tool. Kaito is allowing himself to base his entire life around it.
Yep.
Holy fuck, it's Kingdom Hearts.
Yes. Yep. Yes, it is.
Zawamishi is light.
I have been saying that chick is Namine for the longest time. Yeah. This is Kingdom Hearts' shit.
Yeah.
Zippers everywhere! Zippers everywhere! Fuck!
So it's specifically Kingdom Hearts 2.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Zippers everywhere.
Roxas.
Kota!
I just want to see, like, Kota and Kaito just end this whole
fucking
thing.
Fucking Kamen Rider Jam wakes up, wow, what was that?
just having the two sitting on a pier together eating sea salt ice cream.
No, jam is Roxas.
Sea salt ice cream.
You mean jizz popsicle?
Yes. It is cyan colored.
Jizz popsicle.
Some kind of food berry color. Flavor. I want to try an actual sea salt ice cream.
Where the fuck does that come from?
Kingdom Hearts 2?
No!
The fucking ocean. Dum dum.
No, why are you calling it the jizz popsicle?
Because
it's
salty.
It's salty ice cream. It's salty ice cream. It's
damn
a jizz popsicle.
It's whitish. A jizzicle.
And it's whitish.
It's cyan!
White You're dish. Cyan!
Anyways, overall, this was it was a very cool
shots
episode.
Fired.
Which was an which was a prelude to an even
jokes
cooler
on you, Kyoryu Cyan doesn't have a gun revolver.
Mega Buster's fired.
Oh, there you go.
This episode serves as a prelude to a more intense episode that's going to be coming soon.
Oh, yes. Hells yes.
Within a couple of hours as of this recording.
Yes. Anyways, that's pretty much it on Gaim. Next week is part two of the Kota and Kaito fight. And
quite possibly the actual final episode.
Yeah. We'll know by the end of this episode.
Yeah, we'll know
by
next podcast.
Yeah.
Because this
stay
is
tuned.
Because, yeah, if next episode is the last one that Uroboshi is actually writing, chances are they're going to do the same thing as Wizard and just end the series next week and then have an extra episode that just kind of showcases Drive a little.
Yeah. At the very least, we know he'll appear in some point in the final episode. They always do. Just to further cement that they're all one universe.
I hope Tsukasa comes back.
No.
He already did, and we fucking hate him.
No, I fuck you all.
No, I don't.
But they said
like
he's
that
the most...
I love Tsukasa.
In that movie, I like
Decade
it.
Parfait.
I want a Decade Parfait.
That thing looked fucking delicious.
It did. It looked like I would spend like 3 hours eating it.
Anyways, we already talked about the movie.
All right. Fuck whatever it is we're talking about. We're talking about the 15 movie again.
No.
So how about that Decade Parfait?
That looks so good. I kind of
it's
want
not
one.
Even. I don't even
we
give
don't
a shit
review
about the rest of the movie. We're just looking at
15
Decade.
Guys,
we now review Parfait.
Yes, I was about to say we don't review Tokusatsu anymore. We review Parfait.
Parfait Sentai. Is that the ninja?
A parfait Panera Paul?
Yes! We do! Let's get some Panera Parfait and review it later.
A Panera Fay?
No.
No, it's gay.
I tried.
No, that's the dumb name.
Wow.
Retro Sentai Tokuger!
Okay, Tokuger 28. Oh my god, can we have a gif of Akira herping his dirt
okay.
Like, yeah, please?
Okay. I'm gonna start this off. I'll agree with all of you. It was, because I know this is all you're going to say. Yes, it was a bad episode, but honestly, I thought it was funny.
No, I liked the episode. Akira was amazingly hilarious.
Akira's always awesomely hilarious. But I thought it was very funny. I'm just going to go forward a bit. So, like, when Hikari, like, it's amazing that Hikari does not give a fuck if someone like insults him or breaks his kendama or something.
No, at that point it was less they don't care and more of legit, that's true. Yeah.
But I loved Tokati's reaction when he's just like do you like Mio? Just falls off the
and then has like the fucking Wile E. Coyote walks off, runs off of a cliff and just stands there spinning for a bit.
Fucking Looney!
He imagined himself
doing
that.
Hold up, sign.
Yeah.
Okay.
I never expected... Even
that's what was missing. No, Paul's right. That's the only thing missing from that scene. Just having Tokati stop, look down, hold up a sign, going, eep.
My wildest dreams did I ever expect even Tokuger to pull a fucking Looney Tunes joke.
Also, I find it weird that Mio...
It's just
Mio
that
actually,
fucking
no.
silly.
Also, I find it weird that Mio actually... You know, made shit. Like food.
Mio can cook, apparently.
Omelette sandwiches! And pudding!
I'm not commenting on that.
So she can make food, and then that just happened to be what she made.
Okay. I have a sinking...
Don't be a dick in the butt.
I have a sinking suspicion that Kagura can't.
Probably not. What can she do?
Not much.
Thank you.
She can rally people to save a bathhouse, so fuck you.
She's a LARPer.
She needed Akira for that!
She's a LARPer.
She can't even do that alone!
She's a LARPer. Yeah. She pretends to be other people. One of those just happened to be Akira in that episode.
Here was what was, like...
That pink construction.
It's house. Like Japan has some sort of love relationship for inanimate fucking objects. I mean, no shit, but... How are we gonna spread despair noir? Oh, I don't know. How about we go on a fucking plastic furniture tirade?
I know, right?
That, no, no, no. And I was looking. I go, what are these shadow, or what are these, you know, corrupted people doing? What are they doing?
Standing
that is,
around, yeah, flailing their arms,
causing
going,
havoc.
What are they doing that is causing so much havoc that can be perceived darkness and despair? They were fucking up plastic furniture for a good minute.
This was just scaring small children.
This was just a really
bad... By flailing their arms and screaming.
It was a really bad week to be plastic furniture.
No, like...
And I think that's the name of this week's episode.
No, but that's just it. We've seen Gaim, you know, attack on furniture time and time again. But I think this episode, like, fucking Urobutchered, like...
I've got no one else to kill. Let's kill the furniture.
It was plastic furniture genocide.
That's just it. It was.
I'm gonna call that furnicide.
It was like if Quentin Tarantino decided to do a movie about like the destruction of chairs of 1952.
Alternatively, furnicide.
Maybe, and hear me out on this: if they destroy all that plastic furniture, those chairs will go to heaven, and there won't be a shortage.
Oh, shit! There you go.
Damn it.
Are you trying to tell me that, like, the people who are making this shit are striving this entire time simply to rectify something that they believe to be true from a Seth MacFarlane joke?
They're trying to connect the canons of Kamen Rider and Family Guy.
Within the same universe. You're welcome.
All right, so the basic thing was...
Hey, Lois, what's going on? What's this thing on TV? What's this thing about missiles?
No.
And then Rotro nukes.
Oh! Oh. Markohan!
And Springfield. And Springfield.
Oh, dear God.
The drunken clam is gone!
And wherever the hell Stan and his family
No.
Oh, I can't
if
remember
Family the Guy's proven anything, if a tornado couldn't take down the Drunken Clam, a missile, nuclear strike won't. Drunken Clam will always stay.
Lane, there isn't a continent anymore.
Yeah, that's okay. Anyways, so what the fuck's her face?
Marcus Mork?
Yeah, Mork.
Marquis,
yeah. Mork. So Marquis... Yeah. She decides to stick around as the usual thing in Sentai happens. No. As the usual thing in Sentai happens when, like, a new villain will show up and then they'll be like, I'll stick around for a bit.
She's okay. Halfway through the show, higher ranking than everyone else fucking villains.
Except
the general,
the
prince.
Except the emperor who she fucking established apparently isn't at his best.
Yeah.
She's Scorpina.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. She is Lord fucking Zed.
She's General Havoc.
She's
Rita or
I love when Marquis trying to, like, mention...
But
like,
if she's Lord Zed, and he's Lord Zed...
Oh, no! Logic loop!
It's a trap!
No, I liked when
and she was getting all cozy with him.
I liked when I liked when Marquis was like,
"You
saying,
fucking
like,
saw that,
yeah."
You got Zed sitting on his throne, just being all mopey and thinking about stuff, and she just kind of sits down on the couch there,
like,
and just
leans
kind of
leans on
her,
him,
and just kind of leans over so her head's resting on his shoulder.
You're
and he's just
off.
Like, "The fuck, get up."
No, like Marquis like trying to be like, "Okay, you gotta stop with this whole light shiny business," and he's just like, "Oh." You now narrowed actually just stopped shutting up about or just recently stopped shutting up about that, so but she's actually getting through to him kind of about his weakness and saying brace your darkness, it's better for you.
But yeah,
like,
so
I like this Parker Spark.
So more of the fucking Akira nonsense. One thing I noticed in particular was, you know, right when he starts running away screaming Ordo no Shinibasho, the one scene right before that where he's talking to them, he's, like, right next to them. It pans to the other dude, like, everyone except him, for, like, 2 seconds, and it pans back, and he's fucking gone!
Yeah?
Yep.
Yeah, like,
he was fucking
He was repelling a bunch of feathers that, like, apparently if a feather gets stuck in one in a person, then they go fucking ape shit. So one, he repelled a bunch of them, and one of them accidentally got into Light's, onto Light's helmet, yeah, and so Light started going, well, this is what's funny. Even when, like,
even when
saw,
there was no enemy.
Like, you just see him,
he's standing there flailing around with his sword, fighting air.
Which is something Light would do, probably.
Yeah.
He's using his imagination.
He was imagining that everybody was there and he was cutting them to pieces.
So I love the how they, like, and the worst part, Wagon thought of this. Wagon thought of the way that they could stop Light from going ballistic. So,
thought of the plan while fucking showing off her ass to the camera.
Yes. But so,
she made sure of that.
I love how you took particular note of that.
Because she was sitting there while she was explaining the plan, trying to make it look like she wanted one of them to start spanking her.
So,
isn't this bitch a robot? No,
yes!
So presumably. Her plan to, she told the Tokyo Light was to...
Pretty sure she's a sex bot at this point.
We can't defeat Light by holding we can't defeat Light by holding back on him, and it's like, okay, don't go ham on him. You've seen how strong Light is, he can take a big. So they decide to think of anything that, like, pissed them off that he's done. Like,
God knows there was a lot of material.
Oh, they
apparently Mio and Kagura didn't like him showing up in his underwear.
That was funny. It's Mio and Kagura's comment while they fucking whacked him was, put some damn clothes on!
Okay, I'm not trying to sound weird or anything, but Light is more filled out than I thought he would be. I thought Light was a skinny fucker.
You have failed in not sounding weird.
I know. Yeah,
you have failed.
There's nothing weird about commenting about a guy's physique.
Yeah, I noticed that. He's a bit filled out more than I thought. I was like, okay.
I like how the whole Mio Tokari Hikari love triangle is happening.
No! I love how Tokari
was
like...
thing where Hikari doesn't give a fuck.
No! Since when does that ever stop a love triangle?
Fair point.
Tokari's reason for being pissed off at Light was stupid. Why was it milk? I'm like, you would have been okay with him spilling something else on you.
Like, why was it milk? My fucking kendama, you
Hikari's
asshole!
Hikari's like my favorite kendama, you asshole!
My only kendama, presumably.
Yeah.
Unless he's got like a closet of them.
Probably.
But honestly, the best part of the entire fucking episode was just like, they get out of it, and so Akira just instantly goes to Bill Dio, starts fighting off the two monsters himself, and then he's just like...
Light sits down and watches.
Yeah, Light's like, I don't like watching...
Then why don't you summon Tokyo, you fucker?
No, so better he summons the cannon, gets everyone else to join in, and defeats both of them in a carriage.
Let me summarize this for you. Giant monsters happened. Tokyo Rokugo, the sixth ranger, gets in his fucking Megazord, starts fighting both of them. Two on one, mm-hmm. And... The other five are just standing down below. I was like, man, I don't want to just sit here and watch. And summon the damn Megazord!
No, but they have to use the cannon because twice.
No, they have to show off the new Dice.
And then he used, like, the new super cannon for his super form and fucking wrecked both.
Like, one-shotted two Karina Robos.
And Akira was just like, huh? What?
And Akira's just like, I don't get to do anything today.
No, he's like, oh.
I tried so hard today.
I got so far.
But in the end, it doesn't even matter.
It didn't!
I
thought you were going to make note of the fact that Tokari got to say Shupatsu Shunko this episode.
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
They're all going to get to do it at some point.
Yeah.
I can't wait for next week's episode! Schwartz is teaming up with the Tokyugers!
Also, until we get the,
my Tokyo Zero theory is looking more sound!
No. I'm calling more a curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal.
Probably. I like how him and Light apparently have lunch.
Apparently.
Yes!
They go out for lunch together, apparently.
Yep.
Just him sitting there with that growly face is hilarious.
Can Schwartz actually eat anything?
I don't know!
With that fucking
eats darkness!
Yeah.
I eat puppies and kittens.
But yeah, it wouldn't. The whole Schwartz being Tokyo Zero thing is looking like a possibility, but I wouldn't call it likely.
I don't know, he might be getting his own personal Zord.
Another thing that's happening in next episode is we show that Hikari gets to use the Hyper Russia, which means it's not just a Tokyo Ichigo exclusive power-up. One more thing at the end of this episode that really bugged me slash made me die laughing was when Tokari and Hikari are, like, resolving the tail end of their love triangle nonsense, and he's like, don't tell anyone. And so Light comes over. What you guys talking about?
Hikari's Hikari's making a barbecue.
Guys, don't tell... Saying to this to the complete room of everyone there, except Akira, sure. Guys, don't tell anyone. Hikari's gonna make barbecue.
Conductor. And ticket.
And...
Who are technically two different people.
Supposedly. How dare you use me as a plank?
But does... he, like, wheels his way in, like, immediately.
Yeah, before the train court, you just see Light eating pudding out of fucking Ticket's, like, hat thing, and I was like...
It's just like, Mr. Hat had a pudding cup put in his hat. And then they were eating pudding out of it, and he was like, how dare you use me as a plate?
Yeah, fucking conductor just, like, pudding, oh my god! I'm like,
pudding!
He's, like, fucking owner with the rice.
There's, like, more, there's more of it here.
Or Momotaros with pudding.
Pudding?
Pudding. Get it? Because trains.
Oh my god!
That's the thing I need to do in Japan. Buy some pudding and then eat it on a train.
I'm like, do people just eat pudding on trains in Japan? Is that a thing?
Yes.
I guess.
And drink coffee, apparently.
And box lunches.
Yeah. Well,
and box lunches.
Anyways. Another thing to take note of is apparently the Tokyo Hyper Battle video was released along with episode 28. It's not subbed yet,
yes,
obviously.
It is. TV Nihon.
Really?
Yep.
Fuck!
Shuki watched it.
Well, there's next week's topic.
He said it was very, very funny.
Yeah. Ticket Rokugo is a thing. So that'll be next week's topic.
It's already been a thing.
No, I know, but
it happened.
I know, but it'll be more than 5 seconds.
And then he's fighting against...
There's
Schwartz,
our top.
How?
Schwartz is evil.
How?
Because there's... Akira holds Ticket in one hand and the Morpher in the other and uses Ticket to hold the Resha and scans the Resha through his phone while it's in Ticket's mouth.
Let me try and clear some air here. I don't think the question was, how did he transform? The question was, how did he fight for more than 5 seconds?
And not just because anybody, he fought the evil puppet being held by Schwartz.
Yep.
Honorary kid!
No, that's exactly what needs to happen.
Nope. Naruto
needs to show up with his own little puppet again and be like, just like, how is this even happening?
Honorary kid!
I actually, in the episode where we talked about that, I actually shopped in, I took a sound clip of Narutaki going Honorary Decayed and pitched it up and put it in the finished episode where we talked about that special.
God. No, then there's, no, and then there's another, then there's gotta be another moment where just Station Master from Deno comes in with his own puppet. Domo! Domo!
That'd be amazing.
Puppets for everyone.
And then they reenact Avenue Q.
The internet is for foreigners.
Everyone's
No.
Imagination is for porn.
I was hoping you were going to make a wagon joke.
No.
The internet is for porn while wagons standing around doing things.
No, wagon's just going to play, well, you know.
And then bubble.
Everyone's a little bit shiny. Today!
And then Bubble shows up. Patrick Swayze!
Patrick Swayze!
No, this entire, the entirety of that song would just be everyone's a little bit racist. Also, this song's a little bit racist.
Mostly you.
Anyways.
Yeah, so next week we'll talk about the Hyper Battle video.
Now that we're done talking about dumb TV shows,
let's talk about Power Rangers!
Yes.
That's an off-Broadway musical, thank you very much.
What?
We were talking about Tokyo Drift.
Oh. I thought you were talking about Avenue Q. Okay, no, that is a
what?
Dumb
no!
TV.
What? No!
Okay.
Why would you do that?
Ever!
What?
Okay, so.
Featured topic.
Our feature topic this week is our favorite Power Rangers shows.
Well, Kevin and I both know what ours is.
Yep.
Well, because we haven't done anything in Cast Ranger order for a while, let's go ahead and do that. So, Raven, start us off.
Go Kaiser.
Check. Super Mega Force.
Super Mega Force.
Oh, God.
Oh! Oh, yeah, I had a cough laugh for the first time in my life.
Raven just canned Lane in the face.
Yep.
I hope that was picked up on the audio.
I could hear it pretty good from over here, so I'm pretty sure it was audible for the mic.
I listened to this week's just for that.
Yeah, I know, right?
Ow!
No,
it's at 41 and a half minutes.
All right.
All right, now, my favorite Power Rangers, Time Force.
Want to elaborate on that?
Why?
Quantum Ranger.
Rancic.
Maybe.
Rancic was pretty good.
Rancic was pretty fucking
Yeah, Kevin
cool.
was an awesome villain in that.
Rancic, not Rancic.
Kevin, you should cosplay Rancic.
Go die in a time fire.
Well done!
He could cosplay Rancic.
This week's episode, Go Die in a Time Fire.
No, I already said that the episode's going to be bad week for plastic furniture.
I know.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen it, but I always remember that being my favorite out of all of them.
It's well written.
It really is.
Quite well written. Like, it's got a really well-grounded, like, storyline. You do have the people coming from the future, and they're causing trouble in the past and stuff like that, but it's not done like, they're from the future, and they're causing trouble in the past. It's very much just like they're hiding out.
We're here to save the past and the future.
Except the part where Blue, Green, and Yellow Rangers were completely unmemorable.
And except for that part where the Blue Ranger was dating Rancic's daughter. But aside from that,
right?
And
see,
Alex,
I forgot about
and
that.
Alex was a dick.
Yeah.
God, was Alex a dick?
Yup.
Yes.
Him. But no, yeah, I just really like Time Force.
Okay.
That's
time
all
for.
I got. It's been a, it has been such a long time since I've seen the series. I don't have much to say.
Okay. For me, I like different shows for different reasons. The first one that comes to mind for me is Dino Thunder, because not only was it a great series by itself, but then you throw in the nostalgia factor of having, you know, Tommy back, and as a new Ranger. On top of that, not just a mentor, like he's apparently going to be in the new movie. It was really great to sort of revisit old plot lines with regards to his character, / see new things happen with these other Rangers. And I really liked the way they executed it, especially this was the one season where they showed one episode of them watching their own source material. Like, they sat and watched an episode of Abba Ranger. That was great. And... Mm-hmm. I think that season was where we started to see Power Rangers start to get meta, because that was one where the episode where Tommy got his powers, he's like, I have to go shopping. I checked my closet and there's a shortage of black.
Yep.
So that was sort of where the series started to get self-referential.
Maybe
you'll
still get it done.
Yeah. Just like riding a bike. I also really like RPM, because it was also very well written for what it was. It departs the most from its source material more than any other Power Rangers.
Yep.
Super Sentai.
Which is probably a good thing from what I heard.
RPM had a total lack of a Christmas.
From what
world.
I heard of Go-Onger.
I watched 8 episodes of Go-Onger and said, I cannot tolerate this stupidity anymore.
I like the movie.
I tolerate Tokuger, but I couldn't tolerate Go-Onger.
I thought Talking Zords was cool.
Dumb.
They had sound effects.
Fucking stupid.
Onomatopoeia sound effects.
Ga ga ga.
That shit got annoying fast. Get it fast. anyways.
Fast.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Say.
Ranger X, I don't know.
Y'all motherfuckers need Jesus. Y'all motherfuckers need Zordon.
I also really liked In Space, because it was the whole culmination of all of the plot points up to that point.
That fucking... just like finale.
Yeah, really
oh
great.
God.
Well, thanks.
That's pretty much it for me.
Paul, what's your favorite Power Rangers?
In Space.
Thank you.
And Space.
For those exact reasons.
Okay.
Because Space Marans?
I mean,
from
okay.
Space?
That's not exactly fair. See, here's the thing. I like MMPR through to Space, and I consider them to be a singular. Everything is a singular continuity, but that is especially
even
a singular
Even Turbo?
Continuity.
Yes, even Turbo.
No.
I like Turbo.
I don't like Turbo. I like...
I understand.
I
Turbo
like,
kind of killed it for me.
I liked it.
Turbo's where I got the fuck off the ship.
until Lost Galaxy started airing on Fox.
Until you got on the spaceship?
Well, it's, I never really watched in space.
You missed out!
I watched, like, maybe a couple of episodes here and there, but just... After Turbo, I just did not give enough of a fuck about Power Rangers for a while.
And Spass.
Okay,
and
then here's what you need to do.
And then just... I was already watching, like, everything else on, like, Foxbox Saturday mornings, and then they started airing Lost Galaxy.
Okay, here's what you need to do.
And I was like, okay, I'll give this another shot, and I started watching.
You need to watch the finale of Turbo, then watch In Space, because it's great.
Okay, but see, here's the thing. I love the Zordon series. Yeah. I love everything to do with a bunch... Everything to do with a bunch of teenagers having to talk to a big floating head in a tube in order to save the world. I like the entirety of that storyline. And it culminated so fucking fantastically in such a tense episode at the end of Space that it just made Space the show that I just enjoyed most.
Also, In Space, I would argue, had the same thing that Time Force did. A villain with really great story and development.
Mm-hmm.
Astronema was the most dynamic villain I've ever seen in a Power Ranger series.
Who ended up...
I never wanted to be a Power Ranger anyway.
The very next season.
Yep. She's a Power Ranger. But yeah, that's mine.
Kava?
With honorable mention to Zio. Zio is a masterpiece.
Well, first and foremost, my honorable mention is going to go to Wild Force. Because the suit designs were awesome.
The I like Zord how they all had claws.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not anything specific to Power Rangers per se, but I liked... The suits, I loved the Megazords. To me, still, Wild Force holds the title of best Megazords.
Wild Force is Geki Ranger, right?
No, Gal- it's Gal-Ranger. That's Jungle Fury. My favorite Megazord would go to the Magi King.
Oh, Magi King is so silly.
I love it.
It's got the fucking hat.
I would buy it. I love the hat.
The hat on a Zord is silly.
I'm only
set. Gokayo would like a word with you.
No, that's not. That's different.
That's a hat.
No, it's a, it was a ship.
Regal headpiece.
Yeah, that thing he said.
Regal headpiece.
In my narrow escape from a failed argument.
Nope.
No, Gokayo is different. That thing is nothing without its hat.
It's a pirate hat for a pirate Megazord. A mage hat for a mage Megazord.
Which looked fucking silly.
I love.
He had a pine cone.
What other
pylon
base?
For
what
a head.
Other base form Megazord has wings?
That frigging Mystic Force Megazord with this thing just sitting there going, "You shall not pass."
Thanks for that.
And there
oh,
you
I
go.
Thought of one. The Lost Galaxy Megazord had wings.
Swag. The story was really cool in that, I don't know, they did very well by kind of shifting it from the source material and... doing something with it. I don't know. I
yeah,
really
from
liked
what,
it.
From what I've seen, it is pretty. Wild Force is pretty similar to Gal Ranger.
Yeah. I don't know. Are you thinking what I'm thinking? Okay, well, if I'm going to go into my favorite, I might as well use it to segue into Lane's Pinkcaster. In that, I have to say my favorite is Let's Speed Rescue. And, again, the suits. Not the suits so much as the helmets.
Yeah, the helmets.
The helmets are just badass. I feel it did a great job of being so different from Go-Go 5 while still maintaining shreds of the theme.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to keep that family element in there, that's for sure.
There's family element in Go-Go 5?
The entire Sentai is
a
family.
Oh.
Yeah, they're a family of Sentai.
I don't remember that being too much of a thing in Lightspeed.
They were, it was more side plot to character development in that.
They felt more like work colleagues.
Their
like
dad
Carter,
was Zordon,
yeah.
And,
yeah.
And they were just a family of, they...
Captain Mitchell is the reason Carter became a firefighter in the first place, because he rescued him as a kid. Then there was Dana and Ryan were...
Who actually were his children.
Were brother,
but, yeah that's
children.
Just it, though. Whereas in Go-Go 5, they just happen to be experts in the varying fields.
Rescue
okay.
heroes!
They were a family of...
I always save the day!
Okay.
Exactly. They were a family of rescue heroes.
Am I lying?
Then you guys should probably watch Tomica Rescue Force or whatever that's called.
I was gonna.
I say we watch the movie because Hongo's actor's in it.
Oh, yeah?
And he plays this badass fucking guy. So
we should. Cool. We should start watching more other movies like that and we can make those.
But yes, Megazords in Megazords.
Yeah.
That's always
the
cool.
Train
the
Megazord.
Super Train.
Megazords in Megazords.
We heard you like Megazords. We put
super
Zords inside
train
your Zords.
Megazord.
Tokuger, go fuck yourself.
Exactly.
Tokuger, this is how you make a Megazord out of trains.
Don't worry, yeah. Don't worry. Tokuger's gonna put trains inside of another train.
Well, technically what they're going to do is put
on another train.
Yeah, they're gonna put all of the trains on another one.
Yep.
The fucking hyper terminal.
God damn, the toy is half a meter tall.
I know, Tokyo Rainbow.
That's one of those moments where I'm just sitting there like during Tokuger going, hey, so you have this Hyper Russia.
Is it not also a train?
Can you like not?
I think that's what summons the Hyper Terminal Teo.
Damn straight it probably does. I'm just like, I'm amazed they haven't thought to try it yet.
Oh, they will.
But yeah, most importantly, Titanium Ranger.
Yeah.
Just.
First American exclusive.
Yeah, okay. I was gonna say, aside,
the original Power Ranger.
Aside from a form variant from MMPR.
Yeah.
But yes, all, like, brand new Ranger.
Yeah, I did not know that the black
Armored
Ranger with the Dragon Shield was American exclusive.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
It was tied in for the last episode exclusively for MMPR.
Cool.
That episode, like that whole thing, never happened in
Tommy gave him the shield and he still took a fucking hit.
Yeah!
Dude, yeah, that
I'm
was...
I'm not gonna totally get into that, but that was the dumbest fucking thing ever.
I remember that.
Zack's dying to this poison. Here, take the Dragon Shield, it'll help you and protect you from the rest of this fight. He's gonna shoot you, Zack! Ah! What was the fucking point even?
I know.
He's got the invincible shield that'll protect him from the rest of the fight, so he can take the hit.
The proper response
no!
was take hit, then give
Tommy
shield.
Took
yeah,
the hit.
Tommy took the hit for Zack after giving him the Dragon Shield.
So Tommy, without the shield, took the hit for Zack, who had the shield.
Well, Tommy's like
Syrian forgot he just gave Zack the Dragon Shield.
No, and Tommy will just do anything to help anyone.
He was probably acting on reflex.
Mini rant ended. Lane.
Okay, so for an honorable mention, SPD, because
yeah.
SPD was great. SWAT mode is my favorite fucking super form for a Sentai or Power Ranger or anything.
I was going to mention, but I didn't want to.
And their SWAT Megazord is amazing because it turns into a giant gun and shoots things.
Yep.
But yeah, my favorite is Lightspeed Rescue because A, Carter's a badass motherfucker, will take on a giant monster by himself.
It's like he's the predecessor to Kiryu Daigo.
Diabolico was a really awesome villain, and then, you know, Impus grew up into,
Prince Impus or whatever?
No, his name was something else. But he was cool, and then Diabolico came back to get his star power, which was cool. But overall, it was just, it was great. I like the elements, I love the character development, just, everything about it was great. The Titanium Ranger was cool, like, I like the whole plot where, you know, he wanted to go and get, like, find out how he could get, like, the whole snake thing, the whole snake tattoo, or,
yeah.
That was cool.
It was a snake? I thought
yeah,
it was
no,
like
no,
a
no, 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 he got, no, 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 it was this giant snake that fucking Diabolico put on his back, and he's like, the more you use your power, like, your ranger form, it'll slowly go up to your neck and kill you, so he went on a journey to go find out, and he kept it hidden from everyone, and it was
yeah.
just, like, it was...
He pulled it down, Tetsu.
Now I'm waiting for all of GoGo 5 to be subbed so I can watch the shit out of that because it's a great Sentai. Family Sentais are best Sentais.
I was going
to watch Magiranger.
Magiranger agrees with you.
Yeah.
I was going to say two of my favorite Sentais being GoGo 5 and Magiranger.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it just I love SPD and I love Lightspeed Rescue.
Okay.
There you go.
Least, yeah, actually quickly, least favorite.
In reverse order.
Ninja Storm?
Oh, yeah, Ninja Storm.
Ninja Storm?
Ninja Storm was just bad.
Megaforce?
I didn't see Ninja Storm, so I don't know.
Megaforce? Anyone?
Samurai going to a ninja academy. The fuck?
Okay, that didn't make the show bad. Samurai was still okay.
I need to finish Hurikenger.
Yes.
Harikenja.
Freaking baseball.
Right? Where's Turbo?
Yeah, Shurikenger's based off a baseball player.
His weapon is a baseball player.
No, his weapon's a baseball bat, and then he's like goes from umpire, catcher, or something to...
He pitches and catches.
Yes.
Where's Power Rangers is Turbo. Show ads. Get out of here.
Fuck you.
Turbo was good.
No, it wasn't. Yep. Don't lie, Lane.
I liked it. Fuck you.
Yeah, when the cast changed, it was good.
Guys, I'm a new Blue Ranger. Isn't that great?
That was the movie. The movie was bad.
Blue Ranger.
The movie was
bad. Fucked up the line, but I don't care enough to correct it.
No,
it was the 90s, so it was awesome. Or radical or some
shit. No, it's
bullshit. I'm the new Blue Ranger. Isn't that cool or what?
Just blow me.
That movie and... let's ditch the Zeo powers that continuously get stronger and stronger for these weird car things and then not go back.
IKR.
If anything, go check out Linkara's History of Power Rangers on Turbo. It's very good and he goes very in depth in it.
Power Rangers Turbo the movie, proving that the Zeo powers are water soluble.
And if you didn't like Justin as a kid transforming, then there's a video of him all grown up transforming into the Blue Turbo Ranger.
It was a convention promo of Blake Foster becoming Blue Turbo Ranger without the Barbie effect.
And he wore the suit, and he did not look good in it.
No.
Anyways.
It was still funny.
It was funny. Well, that's it.
Was it all Jetman Yellow?
Yes.
You know, I was thinking earlier that I need to collect all of the Super Sentai series and just watch everything.
I feel like if they ever went back to
using... If you find Jetman, let me know.
No. So I have a feeling that if they went... Just Jetman would be, like, if it was adapted into a Power Ranger show, it just... That's the one where Bulk finally becomes a Power Ranger.
We said that about Samurai and that never happened.
I'm so sad.
How the fuck
did
they miss the boat on Samurai Brown?
I know.
Golden opportunity gone to waste.
Yep.
I think they
especially
had it
when
like,
they had
especially since
there.
They bothered to bring Bulk and was that Spike? Yeah.
Skull Sun.
I think there was one episode where Bulk was like in Shogun armor or some shit, but that barely not even counts.
I was gonna say that's just Bulk being Bulk.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for just like a con. I'm waiting for a con where someone's just like, Bulk and Skull's actors are just in the,
I hope we don't get
or in the panel or whatever, or at a panel together, and just one of them's like, can I throw this cake into your face and have Jason Narvi do his skull laugh?
No, he has to get cream pie in the face.
Okay, cream pie in the face, and then Jason Narvi just does his skull laugh watching him.
I just imagined some
I'm
fucking
sorry.
Terrible fucking like... fucking goddamn porn I didn't need to see of Bulk getting Bulk getting cream pied.
I was hoping one of you would react to that.
Ew.
All of us.
Fucking ew.
Skulls is jerking off in the corner. With
I
the
have
cotton candy
for that guy.
And because it's
he's a pretty cool guy!
And because it's Bulk, the cream pie is more like a fart than anything else. He just sprays cum up
I can already see David right now just listening to this going... David, we're sorry.
What is our podcast, you guys?
It's apparently about Skull unloading his balls into Bulk's ass. And having
and
Bulk
the byproduct
fart,
that ensues,
and having Bulk fart cum all over the wall.
Ew. Oh god!
Oh god, it hurts.
I think we just redefined what it means for Skull to cream pie Bulk.
This has been Cast Rangers episode 25.
If you wanted to see Paul Schreier, you should have been at Yomacon last year.
Bye, everybody.
What was that?
Thanks, you guys.
What was that?
Bye, everybody.
Wait, what was that?
Nothing.
Don't worry about it. Bye.
See you next week.